I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Jazz Notes here. We are coming to you live. You know, sometimes old old radio habits die hard. And if I would actually think about what I'm going to say before I say it, I wouldn't sound like an idiot.
What fun would that be?
Oh, well, I'm an idiot anyway. My name is Cleon Wall. Jeremiah Jensen joining me here for Jazz Notes on the eve. Well, it's on the eve for us, for at least right now. By the time you listen to it, it will be the day, game day, for the Utah Jazz as they take on the Sacramento Kings on Wednesday night. Jeremiah Jensen, of course, you can find him on at JJ SportsBeat. Did I get that
on
one
Twitter,
right?
That's
on Twitter,
correct, yes.
And you can find me at KSL Cleon on Twitter. We talk all things Utah Jazz here, NBA here on the Jazz Notes podcast. And the NBA season starts tonight. Either of those games interest you? Celtics 76ers, Thunder Warriors?
Absolutely.
Actually, both of those sound really good now.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics and Sixers, I mean, that could be an Eastern Conference Finals preview. I know Toronto will want to have a say in that. And then Thunder Warriors, I mean, that's fascinating. By the time you hear this, the game probably already took place, but we know that Russell Westbrook's not playing in that opener. So, I mean, I would be shocked if the Thunder pulled that off. But, yeah, both those games are interesting, and I'm ready to get this thing started. I love the NBA, and right now, the NBA is so good. There's so much talent. There's so much drama. The level of play is just off the charts. There's just so much about the NBA that is compelling and interesting year-round. And now the season starts, it gets even better.
And there's so much compelling about the Utah Jazz right now. In fact, a lot of people are really high on the Jazz. Yeah, they're going to say the Golden State Warriors are probably the favored team to win the championship. They may even say the Boston Celtics, by the way, the team you'll see tonight, and I'm interested to see how Gordon Hayward does. They say they may be the second team, or maybe the Houston Rockets. But the Utah Jazz are up there, and they're being talked about a lot. And they're playing Sacramento. Everyone's looking forward to Friday's game when Utah hosts Golden State. But let's talk about Sacramento first, because, again, on this podcast, we take it one game at a time or something like that. Anyway, as a fan, Jeremiah, I'll ask you to answer as a fan. As a fan, what do you want to see out of this first game? As a coach, what do you want to see out of this first game from the Utah Jazz?
As a fan, I want to see them blow out the Kings, because the Kings stink. And if you don't blow out the Kings in the season opener, then that's concerning. So that's a fan perspective. From a coach perspective, I want to see good habits. I want to see some of the stuff that we were struggling with in the preseason, some inconsistency on defense, some sloppy play here and there. I want to see that cleaned up. I want to see the discipline, especially on defense, that we are used to playing and the standard that we hold with this group. Defensively and all around in game, but especially defensively, because that's going to be our identity. I want to see that game one. And kind of, you don't want to have any mercy against a team like Sacramento. You don't want to come into the opener and look like you just got back. You're playing the second night of a back-to-back in the opening game of the season. You want to look sharp. You want to look ready to go. And with the continuity, there's really no excuse for that to not occur in Sacramento.
You know, it's interesting. I would also say that if I'm the Jazz, I mean, I want to be on TV, I want to have good highlights, I want to see a blowout and all this other stuff, but on the other hand, I also kind of hope that it's not embarrassing. You don't want to be that lead story, even though it's the second night of the NBA, opening up. You don't want to be that lead story on late night SportsCenter because you lost to the Sacramento Kings.
Right.
You want to have a solid game. It doesn't matter how much you beat them by. You just want to get out of there with a win so that you're not a big story. They show on SportsCenter that night, here's your one highlight. Okay, thanks a lot, Jazz win, whatever to whatever. And Donovan Mitchell had this many points, and Rudy Gobert had three blocks and stuff like that. I think that's what you kind of want to avoid. You want to avoid coming out with a bad look on that first night because you want to build as much hype as you can, again, for that game against Golden State coming up on Friday night. Now, that game is getting a lot of attention here locally. I think it's going to get a lot of attention nationally, too, for a Friday night game, the Jazz hosting the Golden State Warriors, because, as I said, a lot of people like the Jazz, and, of course, they favor Golden State to win the NBA championship. But is there too much hype for the Jazz, right? Is there too much hype for the Jazz right now? Am I being a little weird about this? Yeah, I think I am, because I think a lot of people think the Jazz don't get enough attention.
Uh-huh.
But is there a little bit too much love right now going towards the Jazz, or is it the proper amount of love for the team that they have, Jeremiah?
They've earned this because of what they accomplished last season, because of the way they finished the season, because of what Donovan Mitchell did as a rookie, what Rudy Gobert did winning the Defensive Player of the Year, what Coach Quinn Snyder has done as a head coach in this league. Getting to the point where they were in the Western Conference semifinals last year when many didn't think they'd even make the playoffs. At what point, you know, they were in 10th place at the All-Star break, right? So all that wasn't supposed to occur, and it did. The team's young. They have continuity. All these guys are back. You know, there's so many expectations for Donovan Mitchell. There's so many expectations for Rudy Gobert. So is the hype justified? Absolutely is. You know, ESPN and their power rankings, I'll just throw that at one outlet nationally, has them fifth in the league. That's outstanding. And so coming into a game this early against the defending champions, you want to see that kind of hype. You want to be excited about that because this is a great test for the Jazz to see where they're at. And you want to protect home court. And so you have a chance to play a team of that caliber at home. You should beat them. And the Jazz should beat the Warriors. The Jazz whipped the Warriors last year in regular season games.
Come on. We know that there were some circumstances behind the reason why they lost those games.
They kicked their butt in a couple of those games. I mean, they earned those wins. So the Jazz, I want to see that in that first game against the Warriors. If the Jazz want to be contenders and they want to be taken seriously when it comes to that word, then you got to go out and show it against a team like that. And it doesn't matter whether it's game 2 or game 20. Or game 82, like you got to go out there and take advantage of the opportunity, and that's why Friday's game so early in the season is so big to me, is you really want to see where you stand early in the season against the best in the league.
Well, Golden State, I think they're gonna be like the Jazz. They want to make a statement early on. They want to see this Utah Jazz team. Yeah, they're gonna play the Thunder tonight, but they look to Friday night's game and they're gonna want to make a statement against a team that some people think could at least give the Warriors a hard time. So I would expect nothing but the best. It should be a fantastic game and a fantastic atmosphere. But as we talk about, the Jazz first have to play the Sacramento Kings first, so we'll see how that turns out. Hey, I have a button here. We'll see. I want to talk about maybe potential drama this year. Okay, potential drama this year. I don't know. Is there going to be potential drama? Look at how many wings the Utah Jazz have to play. It's a nice problem to have if you're Quinn Snyder. It's a bad problem to have if you're one of those wings because you're going to want to go out and you want to play. Think about these names. You got Alec Burks. You got Joe Ingles. You got Donovan Mitchell. You got Jay Crowder. You got Dante Exum. I'm probably missing a couple of guys.
Grayson Allen.
You've got
Royce O'Neal.
Exactly. We just named off a whole bunch of guys who, whether they got some more, a lot of playing time last year, or a collegiate athlete who was pretty darn good, and a lot of people, well, maybe not a lot of people, but some people probably think he's going to be playing this year. Is this a piece of drama that's going to play out into the season, or do you think over these next like 5 or 6 games to start the season, we'll kind of see how things go along? Now, I know that won't hold up because things happen a lot over an 82-game season, but do you think within the first 5 or 6 games we'll kind of know what that rotation is like, Jeremiah?
I think if that's your drama this season, then you're going to be in pretty good shape for the Jazz because that's a good problem to have. If you've got a problem where you don't have enough minutes for guys that at the end of your rotation that you would like to play but just can't because there's just not enough there, that means you're good. That means you have depth. And the Jazz do have depth. Dante Exum, Alec Burks, and Royce O'Neal and Ian Grayson Allen, how are they going to battle for those 2 and 3 wing position minutes? That's fascinating to me, but that's fine. That's okay. And I think that it'll all get sorted out, And that's the kind of competition you want on a team like this. So if that's the drama, then great. How long is it going to take to kind of get a feel for it, get sorted out? Yeah, maybe that long, but you know, injuries are also going to dictate things. Look, injuries are going to happen. So you need this kind of depth. And it could be Grayson Allen doesn't see any minutes early in the season. All of a sudden, one of these guys goes down, and you look to the rookie and say, hey, we need you to step up. And, I mean, look at Royce O'Neal. A similar thing happened to him last year, is he kept working hard, and all of a sudden he's getting all those minutes. And then all of a sudden Rodney Hood's expendable in trade, right? So it'll be interesting to see how that does develop. And that was some of the drama that they had last year, right? And that sorted itself out. That'll sort itself out again. Is it going to be drama that could be detrimental? Obviously, it's not Minnesota Timberwolves kind of drama. I think there are teams around the league that have far more drama that they're dealing with that could be negative and damaging than what the Jazz have. But you're gonna have some kind of drama, sure. If that's the drama you have to deal with this year, then that means you're a good team and the Jazz are going to be in good shape.
I think Grayson Allen, too. I want to get back to the drama thing here in a second, but I think Grayson Allen, too. I think all of us expect, because he is a rookie, mm-hmm. that he probably won't get a lot of playing time this year. But I think what we've seen so far in the preseason, and maybe you could even go back to Summer League, I think what you've seen so far is the fact that he can do a little bit of everything. The one thing he has, I think, on his side that maybe some of these other guys do not is ball handling. He can get to the basket because he can handle the ball pretty well. I think that will play into his favor as the season goes along. The other guys that can do that, of course, are Donovan and Alec Burks. And Alec Burks is the other guy that I think a lot of people are fascinated to see how much playing time he's going to get just because of all the injuries he's had and also because of, he kind of was buried on the bench until really the playoffs last year.
Before the playoffs last year, I thought he had played his last year games as a Jazz man. And then he went out in the playoffs and he found a role that they needed and he performed well. And he's coming back this year. I'll share this. I went to practice on Monday and Alec Burks was available to the media. I've been here every year of Alec Burks' career with the Jazz, basically his entire NBA career. And I don't remember him ever being made available to the media for practice because there was no need and he didn't like doing it. And it was just not, he's not a soundbite machine. You know what I mean? So all of a sudden Alec Burks is doing media interviews and he's giving great insight. He's matured. He's grown a great deal and he's healthy. He hasn't been healthy. He suffered a devastating injury. One that's hard to come back from if you're an NBA player, fracturing his ankle like that. So, That's an X factor, not to use a pun. I guess it'd be more fitting if I was talking about Dante Exum. But Alec Burks could be an X factor for the Jazz this year, and I think he's maybe more comfortable in this system. Where in the past he was all about ISO and trying to get to the rim and playing fast. He talked about slowing down and understanding the game better and changing his approach. Little things that he's learned that he's really, it's a maturity thing with him, and I think we might be surprised by what Alec Burks can offer the Utah Jazz this year.
By the way, when you said, you know, I thought that Alec Burks, I thought he was going to be gone, the first thing that came to my head was, you know, I think I'm tired of trying to predict what's going to happen with this team because every time I think I know what's going to happen, because I felt the same way about Alec Burks.
Right.
And I felt the same way about Derek Favors. I thought both of them would have been gone, you know, way before this time. And they're both on this team and they look like they're going to be contributors on this team. So I think I'm done trying to make predictions for this team because I clearly don't know what I'm talking about, and they keep bucking what I predict. But really quickly, we're gonna try and predict some things. It's gonna be a segment we call If and Then. That's after our break. But before that, last thing I want to ask you, Jeremiah, is this the team that has the least drama on it in the NBA, at least off the top of your head? Because all the good teams you think about it, you think that of some sort of drama that they might have on their team, whether it's Draymond Green with the Golden State Warriors, LeBron with the Lakers. Is this the least filled drama team that you can think of right off the top of your head in the NBA?
Yes, because, okay, the Warriors have drama because of DeMarcus Cousins. How's that going to work out when he's healthy and he comes back? And Klay Thompson's contract situation is going to be a talk all year, and Draymond Green's contract stuff. So they're going to have that kind of drama. The Houston Rockets, how is Carmelo Anthony going to work in Houston? So they got that. The Thunder have their issues with with Russell Westbrook and an injury issue that they're dealing with. The Celtics, how are they going to give all those guys minutes and keep all those guys healthy? The Raptors, is Kawhi going to work out in Toronto? So I'm going through all these top teams in the league that maybe are ahead of or in the same range as the Jazz, and they've all got these things that are standing out there that, like, unanswered questions that are really interesting and could create some drama. The Jazz don't have any of those. I mean, we're kind of stretching to try to find some drama, like too many minutes. Like, how are we gonna give these guys at the end of the rotation the minutes they want? Well, who cares, as long as the starters are doing their job? Is Donovan Mitchell going to have a sophomore slump? I guess it could be possible, but, you know, who knows? I mean, that's what we're looking for with the Jazz. There's really not anything there unless there's an injury. These other teams have bigger issues, which is interesting to see how this is all going to play out.
All right, we're going to take a break here on the Jazz Notes podcast. As I said, we're going to play If and Then. If something happens, then this will happen to the Jazz. That's all coming up next on the Jazz Notes podcast. All right, welcome back to the Jazz Notes podcast. We are playing If and Then. My name's Cleon Wall. Jeremiah Jensen's here. I've come up with the If and Then. Jeremiah's going to answer. I might throw in something too, but here's If and Then. Okay, so I'm going to preface this first one. It kind of deals with the wing issue or the wing nice problem that the Jazz have right now.
Wing depth, we'll call
it. Wing depth. Okay, that sounds a lot better than what I'm coming up with right now. Okay, so Sports Illustrated, they of course they do a story each year before the season starts. Let's talk to scouts and we'll find out what they would like to see or what they like and they don't like about each team. One of the things they said was that the Jazz, they'd like to see them go five out with Jay Crowder maybe playing the five, which would be interesting, especially after we've heard that he's lost a lot of weight. I'm not sure that would all work out, but let's just go with that. If the Jazz play five out, Jeremiah, then
then that's going to be a very interesting thing to watch, because I don't know how that would go. Small ball lineup would be really interesting, and that is a small lineup. So then the Jazz could give other teams some matchup issues. That would be interesting to me. I haven't seen it yet, so I really don't know what then would be, but I am interested to see how and find out.
Yeah, I am too. I think the then would be for me is then we would find out if they can actually have a small ball lineup, because that's all we've heard about is, hey, could the Jazz go small ball? And I guess they could, but they always seem to have Rudy or Derek in there,
sure,
anchoring the center, which is what I think you'd still want.
Of course.
So
yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how it would work.
All right,
I'll say that.
If the Jazz lose to Sacramento, then
the Jazz have issues. If you're going to lose your opener against a bad team like that, a team that's just so young and inexperienced, then they're not the team we thought they were, and they have some issues, and they're going to have to work those out.
I know game one is the same as game, well, sort of kind of like game 82. Each game counts, but again, when you're looking at, what would you call it, a Q score?
Yeah.
If you're looking at impressing a lot of people out there, you don't want to lose to the Sacramento Kings in the first game of the season. No. All right, then, if the Jazz, I know, I don't want to be too negative here, but I had to bring this up. Speaking of losing, if the Jazz lose Donovan Mitchell to a significant injury, then
the Jazz miss the playoffs.
That's it. Wow.
Yes.
He's that important to this team. You don't think they can recover?
Would they have made the playoffs last year without Donovan Mitchell?
No, I'm just trying to egg you on here.
No.
He's their best playmaker.
The
right
West
now
too competitive, way too competitive. And the Denver Nuggets didn't make the playoffs last year. That's a good team. The Clippers were a decent team last year. They didn't make the playoffs. The Lakers have to knock someone out of the playoffs to get in this year. What team is that going to be? Everyone says it's the Spurs, but the Spurs do have DeMar DeRozan still. I mean, they have a lot of injury problems. Speaking of teams with drama, they've had a rough year. But the Jazz, if they lost Donovan Mitchell, all of a sudden, you're losing a 20-point-per-game score. You're losing your leading scorer on a team that's already going to struggle to score points at the same clip as other teams. That would be devastating. I think they would miss the playoffs without Donovan Mitchell for a long, extended period of time. It would depend on how many games we're talking about.
Yeah,
because without and you could say the same for Rudy Gobert. If Rudy Gobert gets injured, then the Jazz miss the playoffs too. If it's for an extended period of time, 30-plus games, I would say that.
All right. And I think the thing, I don't want to see it, but I think the one thing that you would gain is you would understand how good slash bad this team would be without him. And I think we would see, unlike Golden State when Steph Curry goes out with an injury or Kevin Durant goes out with an injury, there's not another big star, at least playmaking star, that's going to be able to step in for the Jazz. You could probably have some inexperienced ones, and they'll probably win some games and probably stay in that playoff hunt. But sadly, Jeremiah, I think I would agree with you on that. I think they missed the playoffs. All right, last one. If Ricky Rubio gets his hair cut off where it's really short and he shaves his beard off, then
he'll lose all his strength. Don't do that. The reason he turned into a 43% three-point shooter last year at the end of the season. It was all because of the look. I like the look. Ricky be Ricky. The old clean-cut young Ricky Rubio. No thanks. I want the tatted up, man bun wearing Ricky Rubio that makes 43% of his three-point shots and is having fun with his new teammates here in Utah. So don't change, Ricky. Don't change.
I would just say he might lose a lot of female fans.
Oh, no. I think he'd still keep them.
Do you? Oh, really? I think that maybe
but
he'd lose
they,
a few
they
just
would,
because
I think a lot would mourn the loss of the man bun.
Oh, but, please, no. I don't mind the ponytail. The man bun needs to go. That is going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. We got to get out of the studio. They're kicking us out right now. Thanks for downloading the Jazz Notes podcast. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Let us know what you think. We'll have more coming up this week right before the Golden State game. See you later.